Hey, everybody. Welcome to the That's Good Sports Podcast. I am Brandon Perna, and joining me today is William Keys, King of the Andals, Prince of Sacramentoville, first of his name, breaker of LaCroix boxes. Accurate?
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. You did it perfectly. That's probably the best intro I've ever gotten.
Yeah.
That's, not only for the show, anyway.
Yeah, and all off the top of my head. So, really, I'm getting good at this. Very good at this podcasting thing.
The podcast classes have been paying off.
Yeah, the podcast classes. Rule one, know what you're going to discuss on the podcast.
Well, here's the thing. Rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah. It's really the hardest thing you and I sort of have speaking to. Like, what the fuck do we talk about today? The challenge really is, like, we make videos throughout the week.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've already talked about most everything.
Pretty much.
So do we just go into depth about some of the shit we've already talked about? Or do we need new things to talk about? I don't know. I don't know how this, clearly, whatever we're doing, since we're not super successful, we haven't found the secret formula yet.
I think the strategy is to do exactly what we're doing and then hope that eventually someday people catch on.
Yeah. I got the bill from Podbean to like renew for the year.
Oh shit.
Which I forgot I even had to pay for like the hosting, and it was I think $108. And I was like, okay, subtract the $17 we've made through Podbean, and that's not a profit, right? We did not make a profit.
Hold on, let me crunch the numbers here. No, it's not. No.
Okay.
It's one of those things, like, HBO probably lost money for, like, the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones, but it's just something they had to do. It was almost a public service at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what
I've
been doing for 6 years now. The public service.
Pro bono video making.
But, okay, so we're going to we're going to talk about the Raiders getting Hard Knocks, Bill Belichick shooting his players in the face with paintballs.
You could have left out paintballs there.
Yeah, I should have just teased that one. A little bit. We got a little, not even news, just a Broncos thing we'll start with. And there's some basketball stuff happening.
Yeah, is there ever? Yeah. There's a lot of basketball happening this week. You made a basketball video yesterday. What does it feel like to be a basketball expert now?
Oh, dude, I'm so good at talking b-ball with the b-boys. And
A lot of it came actually pretty naturally, I thought, when I watched. Yeah.
Well, when you write 75% of the episode, it's really easy. I added a couple jokes. And then the one thing so I watched – I watched the Raptors, not all of it, but parts of the Raptors-Warriors game.
Yep.
I saw KD get hurt. I saw the whole cheering scandal.
Yeah.
Canadian fans. I was like, oh, this is interesting because people were acting insane on Twitter about it. So I felt like I had something to say there. And you're like, this would make a good episode. So I was like, all right, we'll buckle down. We'll do basketball. You really recapped the game. And then I just added some bullshit about when you should root for an injury and when you shouldn't. And the answer is you should never root for an injury. But the funny thing was, like, just immediately, everybody in the comments was like, what about Tom Brady? I know you would root for a Tom Brady injury, Brandon. What about, like,
And that's not a hypothetical situation. We went through that in 2008.
And I think, like, somebody said, it's one of those things where you think it, you just don't say it. And that's where I'm going to leave that.
You know what? I'm thinking it and saying it right, not saying it right now. So.
Right. Well, in the, like, I think the KD injury brings up like a good point.
Yeah.
If you were somebody who was on the fence about whether or not you should root or cheer for an injury, to me, like a big part of that is you never know the extent of an injury. You know, sometimes you do. Like Alex Smith, you knew right away he was fucked. Like,
yeah,
there are injuries. You know,
Alex Smith, like they hate Kevin Durant.
Right.
He's like one of the top five hated athlete in sports right now, and has been since he came to Golden State.
Yeah, it's crazy. And but like KD's injury, like right away, didn't look bad. But with ligaments and different things, you never know. Like, turns out it was pretty bad. Turns out he confirmed he ruptured his Achilles. So,
a lot of armchair doctors on Twitter.
Exactly. So, like, that's to me is the biggest thing. Like Garrett Bowles, when he hurt his leg a couple of years ago, you would have thought his career was over. You know what I mean? By the way, he reacted. Right, yeah.
And he missed like a week.
He missed a week. It was a bone bruise. And that's the thing. Like, people gave him shit for crying and overreacting to an injury.
Just don't know. Like, maybe it just hurt really bad.
Yeah. Like, KD seems pretty tough because his Achilles ruptured and he didn't show a lot of pain. You're just like, ugh.
Right.
Like, you would have, like, Paul Pierce came back into the game after they wheelchaired him off the basketball in the off the court in the finals. Yeah.
Well, that was after he shit his pants, so.
Yeah, is that true?
Pretty much, yeah. He's, it was a theory was, for a long time for, you know, 11 years since that happened. His pants. And if you don't, like, make any strong effort right off the bat to deny that you pooped your pants, you know, that rumor's not going to go to bed anytime soon. So, although if you are in that place where you have to say, no, I did not poop my pants, you're better off just not saying anything at all, probably.
Right.
They're going to be like, did he actually poop his pants?
Would you rather shit your pants in an NBA Finals game or rupture your Achilles?
I have one question for you. What color are the shorts?
White.
No. Achilles. I'm sorry. Achilles will heal eventually, but that brown stain will never – it may wash off the shorts, but it will never wash off of your soul and your reputation.
That's actually a really great point. I think as somebody who is trying to be seen as a comedic presence, I would go with shitting my pants.
You think that's going to, like, help?
I think, like – after the initial embarrassment, like a year later, being like, yeah, I was really good at basketball and I was the guy who shit my pants on the court. Like, I feel like, to me, I could have a lot of fun with that. Not everybody could.
Yeah. No, you have to have the right attitude about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it helps, like, if you win, like, I'm pretty sure the Celtics won that game.
Right.
So to say you pooped your pants mid-game and still won, I think is about as powerful a move as you can get.
Yeah, you're right. That is a power move.
Right.
Shit your pants, and then you come back and – yeah, he hit like a clutch three or something in that game, I believe.
Yeah, after he cleaned up.
Yeah.
And probably changed his shorts. I hope. I don't know.
Was that the Lakers-Celtics series?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, I watched all of those. That's when I used to watch basketball. It's when I worked at the porn factory, and I worked the swing shift, so it was in the evening, and me and this other guy would just take really long dinner breaks and watch the basketball games in the break room because there was no like supervisors there, so you know.
Oh, I would expect them to run a really tight ship there, but
yeah,
I don't know.
All right, well, let's. That's enough. That's enough banter. Okay, let's talk about.
Yeah, cut out the banter. We have serious stuff to talk about. This has been a heavy news week, especially
so heavy. Heavier than a shorts carrying a full bag of basketball shit.
Yep.
Okay, so I saw this thing. I think in Reddit from James Palmer, and it was saying that Broncos Bradley Chubb started watching Khalil Mack tape once Vic Fangio was hired in Denver. That was not something I had heard. Also, I haven't been paying too close attention, but Fangio supposedly has had Chubb in the same role that he used Mack last season. And
that role is to sack the quarterback a lot.
Right. So I looked up Khalil Mack's stats last year compared to Bradley Chubb's. So Khalil Mack in 13 games that he started, one interception, one touchdown, six forced fumbles, 12 and a half sacks, 18 QB hits. Chubb in 16 games, zero picks, zero touchdowns, two forced fumbles, 12 sacks, 21 QB hits. So my question to you, Will, is do you think Chubb will outproduce Khalil Mack this year if he's used like him? Maybe not all around, but if you were going to bet on one area, where do you think he will maybe be better the way Fangio is going to utilize him?
I think he might get there on the quarterback hits. I think he might beat out Khalil Mack. Can I just say that the one interception, one touchdown from Khalil Mack, that was on Deshaun Kizer in week one. So that absolutely does not count towards anything.
Fair enough.
It wasn't even Aaron Rodgers. It's going to come – yeah, it's going to look like, oh, he picked off – he had a pick six against Aaron Rodgers in week one. It's like, no, that was when Aaron Rodgers hurt himself and then came back gloriously and won the game on Sunday Night Football. But there was a brief second quarter where Deshaun Kizer was stinking it up for the Packers. I don't think he's going to beat him on sacks, primarily because Khalil Mack doesn't have competition on the other side. Maybe not as good of competition as Von Miller. It's about as good as you can get on the other side. So there were like a few sacks where like they just split because they get there at the same time, or like, you know, Von Miller just gets there first, where Chubb could have gotten his own sack and it's like, oh, my teammate beat me to it, which is doesn't sound like that bad of a problem, but it's going to result in a few less sacks a season, I think. But he might get there in quarterback hits just based on
yeah, well, he already had more. He had 21 more to max 18 QB hits.
Yeah, and he seems like a guy that can stay healthy. Whereas, yeah, who knows with Khalil Mack. But I think it's interesting that you can watch tape on Khalil Mack as opposed to just like watching what Von Miller does all the time, because I think if you watch Von Miller on tape, a lot of the time you're just saying like, okay, that's just a freak of nature and I can't physically do that. Like I can't bend my body horizontally like 90 degrees like that and get past the right tackle. I have to actually like, you know, figure out how to, you know, get the right hand fighting and whatnot to beat the tackle. I can't just time the snap perfectly like Von Miller does, because he just has supernatural pass rushing abilities, whereas Mack is probably more of a technician, although he's also very strong.
Right.
You can't just be like, oh, I'll just be really, really fast like Von Miller. And also for Khalil Mack, like, you can probably just skip the playoff tape too. Not a lot there to see.
A lot of open space there. Yeah, well, I think like the thing, I can't remember which player was talking about Von Miller. I heard it, I think it was on the radio, but he was talking about like asking Von Miller about something, and maybe it was like Derek Wolfe talking about it, but he was just like, he's like, he can just bend ways that like your standard athlete can't. So he tries to do you something, tries to show you how he does something, and you just like, you can't do that with your body is kind of what they were saying. So I think that's fair to your point. And saying like maybe Mack's a little bit more similar to Chubb in their style of play because of their sort of athletic build, maybe. I think one thing, like, there was a lot of criticism last year about times where Von Miller would be in coverage or something. I actually think you'll see Miller and Chubb mixed into coverage maybe even more with Vic Fangio, because he expects that out of, I think, a lot of the position players, and likes to use it to confuse, obviously, you know, offenses, what they're doing.
Yeah, and so, he blitzes cornerbacks more often, so someone's got
to drop back to make up for that. So, like, beyond, like, being, like, comparing Chubb's play to maybe Mack, I'm just curious to see the variations in which they're used with a different sort of defensive philosophy, I guess, moving forward this next season.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I think there's probably only, you know, 12 sacks, and how many of those sacks came in like the last 10 games of the season? So it seems like he's on an upward trajectory, whereas Von Miller is pretty consistent throughout the season. So, you know, we'll see. I like where they're headed.
Yeah, I do too. And with Khalil Mack, since he was a former Raider, we can jump into the Raiders getting Hard Knocks.
Great job. Great transition.
Like that? Like that segue?
Yeah. That was, do you, by the way, do you know how to spell segue?
S-E-G-W-A-Y.
That's what I thought. And it's S-E-G-U-E. Because I think it's French or something.
Oh, that sucks.
I know.
But if you rent a Segway, is it?
Exactly. Right. It doesn't mean like, oh, you're segueing to the next topic on a Segway.
Yeah.
Which would make a lot more sense.
Well,
personally, I think we should just change it.
You more than anybody know exactly my spelling talents.
Sometimes.
Well, I forget. I think maybe it was this. Yeah, maybe it was this rundown.
It was, yeah.
I think I had disaster spelled wrong, and you corrected it before I could even finish the fucking sentence.
I know. I love to do that. Just to piss you off. Like, while you're writing mid-sentence, I'll go in and correct the word.
Yeah. I usually see it, too. And
I don't even, like, type it out. I just hit the right click button and do the autocorrect.
Yeah. Well, that's how I do them. It's usually – well, I would say I'm a worse typer than I am a speller. Like you
are, yeah.
I would say my problem usually is I don't hit the right keys, and I know what I'm spelling and I know how to spell it, but sometimes I'll hit so many wrong letters, it doesn't even recognize what fucking word I tried to write.
Yeah, no, that's always very insulting when you're just so far away that it doesn't even suggest anything.
Yeah. The most embarrassing thing is when you've actually given it a good try, like
the old college try.
Oh wow, I was the word I was trying to spell was about 10 letters away from where I needed to be.
Yeah, I was trying to spell environment, and now it's autocorrected to evangelical.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Raiders Hard Knocks.
Raiders Hard Knocks. This is brilliant.
This is what everyone wanted. Oh, they made it right.
It's the first time you could say that I'm excited to watch anything about the Raiders.
I think so too. I was excited to watch them pretty much every game they went 2-14 in 2006, the year before Jamarcus Russell. I was excited to see them. It's fun to watch them lose. I think this is different because this is going to be a window into their madness. We're going to see how the sausage is made. And spoiler alert, I think it's going to be made very poorly.
And yeah.
We're going to see a lot of, you know, troubling things about John Gruden's coaching process.
Yeah, I mean, John Gruden alone is an entertaining sort of character. Then you have, obviously, Antonio Brown, which is another bit of insanity. Mm-hmm. Add in Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito. This is the thing. Everybody's repeating this, these guys, right? But it's true. Like, it is an interesting collective. Don't even mention, like, Mark Davis in the mix or a new GM and Mike Mayock.
All the scouts that hate them at home before the draft. Yeah.
And the crazy thing is this, like, shitstorm could turn out to be very successful for the Raiders this year. Like, could, in that there's talent.
Right.
We have seen Derek Carr play really good football as a quarterback. I don't think it is going to happen, but it could. But most people, I think, are expecting it to be a shit show and a disaster. So my only fear is that it doesn't somehow live up to the hype. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean.
Like, if they look like a normal, good functioning team, everybody's going to be a little bit disappointed.
That's what we know. That's not going to happen. We have, you know, 60 years of evidence that is not the case. So why it would, although it could just turn into, the only way that does happen is if they use it to their advantage and turn into like a North Korea propaganda machine. But I trust HBO, especially given Hard Knocks last year, where they showed how dysfunctional Hugh Jackson's coaching staff was and how they were holding up that organization basically with duct tape during training camp. They don't really pull any punches, and it's not like they have like fluff pieces within
right
Hard Knocks, but as far as the organization goes, they don't really sugarcoat it, and there's not a lot of sugarcoating that I think you could do with these Raiders.
No, I think you're probably right there.
Right. So do you have any like specific things that you're looking forward to? Cause there's like always these beats that Hard Knocks hits every year, like these different storylines, like these little cutaway features. So right. I have some specific scenes that I want to see.
Tell me.
Okay. First of all, Nathan Peterman throwing interceptions in training camp.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah. I think that's going to be like there's just going to be like a montage of interceptions to transition from one practice to the other.
And
that's going to be really exciting.
Like the Bob Wiley stomach pumps, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's going to be all in slow motion. It's going to be great. Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito getting into their first fight.
Oh God.
And how like all the sidelines like spill onto the field. Really looking forward to that. Derek Carr's makeup routine in the morning. I want to see him waking up like 20 minutes early to apply eyeliner. Them going to Canada and like John Gruden or Mike Mayock like forgetting their passports or something.
Do they have a preseason Canadian game?
Yeah, they're playing in Winnipeg in the preseason.
Nice.
And we forget that they hold their training camp in Napa, so I think someone, maybe Antonio Brown, more likely Richie Incognito, is going to get really shit-faced at a winery.
They got to get wine drunk, yeah. There needs to be like a team-building activity at a winery.
Mm-hmm. That might be like an HBO extra that they only show online. But trust me, I'm going to be watching all of that content.
You should be honestly, you could be a producer for Hard Knocks.
I've just watched it so much that like it's like I've got the formula down.
Yeah, no, you got it. The thing I always think is formulaic in Hard Knocks is their like use of montages.
Mm-hmm. You kind of have to have a formula when you're putting out an hour-long episode in the course of a week. But they have their formula, and if it works perfectly, so
the thing that's nice, the Hard Knocks did the Chiefs a long time ago, right?
Yeah, like the Brody Croyle team.
Yeah, like I don't even remember any of that shit. So it's nice that it's in the AFC West, in that like I'm much more familiar with all of the AFC West teams. So I'm curious to see like which guys they focus on that are going to be like the unknown guys that maybe I'll actually know who the fuck they are this time around.
There's going to be, I can guarantee there's going to be something about Josh Jacobs' tough childhood. That'll probably actually be pretty interesting, but like that's tailor-made for Hard Knocks.
Right.
There's going to be a few undrafted players. I'm going to say Keelan Doss because he went to college like half an hour from Oakland. Let's see. I was going to say Derek Carr and his relationship with John Gruden, but that's so like it's almost like too passive aggressive to convey on camera. They have such a weird relationship. Hopefully there's like a big trade or something. Like imagine if Hard Knocks was rolling while they traded Khalil Mack last season.
Oh yeah. That would've been cool.
That would've been huge.
Did that happen was that like the final week of preseason? When was that?
It might've been like right after the last preseason game.
Yeah, it was late. I think like your Nathan Peterman interception thing, I think there will also – there's got to be, like, a John Gruden soundbite supercut too.
There will be
– They're going to have so, like – I mean, it's hard because Gruden's been on camera so much. He's had the QB football camp or tape or whatever the hell that show is he did. Mm-hmm. But that was done by ESPN.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to be, like, more forgiving and definitely want to be – a little bit error on the side of keeping like John Gruden happy. Whereas, I mean, HBO, maybe they get some better nuggets from Gruden.
Yeah. It's not like, cause they're in such a good position because they don't have to keep the coaches happy because A, they're only there for five episodes.
Yeah. Like a month.
Yeah. And they don't have to go back because like coaches, especially the coaches that end up on Hard Knocks, like you're there because you're not there by choice. You're there because
your team wasn't in the playoffs.
The first year coach and your team didn't make the playoffs, which usually means that you're on your way out. So they don't have to be like, well, we don't want to burn bridges with a guy that's going to be here 5 years down the road if we have to do that again.
Right.
The coach just isn't going to be there.
Yeah. Which is funny is because Gruden could be the exception because of his contract.
Yeah. You know.
It's a 10-year contract.
It really is great that the NFL put those rules in place that, like, some team has to do it. Because we got that 1 year without Hard Knocks during the NFL holdout, so they changed that. I think it was in the CBA. Maybe not, but that was really genius marketing. Probably the best thing Roger Goodell has done to say, if you don't make the playoffs and if your head coach is not a rookie, you're eligible.
Yeah, no, I think that was fair.
And hopefully one day we get the Broncos. I mean, not that I want them to miss the playoffs, but God knows it happens occasionally.
Yeah, no, it'd be cool. Some teams do, like, their own, obviously, like, low-budget version of Hard Knocks. I know on the Bills YouTube channel, they're doing their own sort of, like, follow the Bills team for a few weeks during preseason or whatever. It's not as in-depth or as cool, but, like, I wish more teams would do it. Mm-hmm. I know that the Broncos don't, but.
Where do you rank Hard Knocks as far as, like, the three major football documentaries? And I'm gonna put it out. Hard Knocks is one, not in order, but, like, Hard Knocks is one of them. Amazon, All or Nothing. And then Last Chance U on Netflix.
I mean, you kind of have to say Hard Knocks is number one. It's probably the most popular. It's been around the longest. It kind of like defined the format for it. But I've found Last Chance U a little bit more interesting, at least like the first season.
First season was excellent.
Yeah. And then it just kind of, it felt like repetitive after that. And then they switched schools, but yeah, I would say like Hard Knocks is the most well produced, and I haven't watched All or Nothing, so I can't really compare it. I mean, I've seen parts of it. I've seen parts of it with Jeff Fish. Like they did the, no wait, Hard Knocks was with the Rams.
They did both with the Rams that year.
Oh, okay.
Which was a mistake.
Yeah. I would say, yeah.
I don't know who the All or Nothing team was. I don't think. They do such a good job of keeping that under wraps. I have no idea how they keep it a secret all year, but they do.
Probably because they do it out in the middle of nowhere in Mississippi and shit.
No, I mean Amazon, All or Nothing with the NFL.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I don't know. Who've they done? So they've done the Cardinals.
Cardinals,
the Cowboys
was great. Rams,
the Cowboys.
Cowboys was last year.
Yeah.
Cowboys not that great.
No, I watched some of the Cowboy one, but yeah, HBO, I mean, they know how to make shit.
They sure do, and they would do a good job producing That's Good Sports, just saying.
Oh, God, they would.
They
would do so good.
It would be incredible.
Like, if you and I can be successful, Will... Imagine if somebody knew what the hell they're doing behind
this show.
Some direction and some planning.
And imagine us like just having dominion over like personal assistants and like staff writers and everything.
Oh, God.
It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be like a real life Larry Sanders show.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I have wanted to pitch so bad is a real version of the Larry Sanders show, but it's a sports show, which it's like the first half of it is like trying to put the show together and then you actually give them the show in the second half. So it's like you're producing a 12-minute show, but the first 12 minutes are like the story of trying to put the thing together, which is kind of what Sorkin did a little bit with Sports Night, you know, a long time ago, but that was all fictional.
No, yeah. we want it all documentary style.
Or like the other version is basically more like Home Improvement in that it's a sitcom.
Okay.
Where the main character has this sports show, but like South Park in that it stays relevant. So you have to shoot it right and shoot the show that week. So the story goes around with the actual news that happens.
This week we're talking about like Kevin Durant on the show.
Exactly. So like that would be what's in the show. And then you build the story and you may have to spend like the off season of the show writing your story arcs.
Right.
And then having like a template that you can tool to do it. But I would love to just be in a position to try to do some of that shit. But
HBO, if you're listening.
Who? Anybody here work at HBO?
Might be. And here's the thing. HBO would be choice number one. I think we'll also accept Showtime.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Stars, no. Yeah. Cinemax, maybe. We could. I don't know how the
advertising. You're the big fish in the little pond over there.
Yeah. I mean, we're in between like Strike Back and some softcore porn.
Yeah. If we can incorporate nudity to the show, I'm open.
Hey, it'll be in your contract. Yeah. That's for sure.
I wonder if like a place like that would if they seriously considered like doing my show. If they would force me to go through and scrub some of my videos, like get rid of them.
Which videos in particular?
Like say that we wanted to have a guest on the show that I talked a lot of shit about in the episode. You know what I mean? There's an easy one to say in Tom Brady, which I don't think I can scrub clean altogether. But
no, you just have to delete your channel.
Yeah. Which I would do for the right amount of money. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just that Brady would never come on the show regardless.
No. Oh, man, I would kill to be able to interview him. That'd be like the number one person I'd want to interview.
Question number funny, one, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, and I would approach it like a civil person. I would say, look, man, I've given you an unfair shake on my show. Nobody has shit on you more than me, probably. What I want to do is an interview where I continue to do that, but halfway through the interview, you turn the tables on me and you end up making me look like an ass. Like to me, it would be really funny if I went in there and Brady was able to like eviscerate me somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's funny. I don't know if people would like it, but like to me, because I don't take it that seriously either, but I don't know.
I think the ideal situation for that is if Comedy Central ever did a roast of Tom Brady. I don't think he'd ever agree to it, but I think you would probably be on that panel of comedians that get up there.
I feel like I could roast him.
Yeah. And then he throws it back at you when he gets on the stand at the end of it.
Right. Just watched the Office episode where Michael Scott makes everybody roast him last night. It was on. Usually, like when you're done, it's okay for the roaster to say something nice and loving to the person they're roasting.
You go up there with a golf club.
Oh shit!
You know what would have been good on HBO is to see the Patriots on Hard Knocks playing paintball. Instead of going to practice.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. I think yesterday, and we heard a story that Bill Belichick shot their linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, in the face.
I
can picture that perfectly in my head.
It's like, if you haven't heard the clip, go find it, because it's Kyle Van Noy playing Fortnite with is it Hightower? I think he's playing with Dont'a Hightower. I forget. He's playing Fortnite with a teammate, and he's talking about his tooth hurting because the mask he was wearing hit him in the face from the impact of the paintball. And Hightower's like, "Oh yeah, who shot you again?" And like Kyle Van Noy like laughs. He's like, no, tell me, who shot you again? He's like, no, I say, like, he's embarrassed. And then at the very end, he was like, Bill got my ass. It's like, just the one line, Bill got my ass. And it's just, it's so easy to see Belichick just fucking shooting his own players.
Oh, yeah, no. Here's the thing, though. I just want to say right off the bat, and call me a baby all you want. Call me, like, a little girl, fine. Paintballs kind of hurt. It really hurt.
Yeah, I've never played paintball.
I only went paintballing once, I think when I was 13, and I got shot in the neck. And let me tell you, that does not feel good. It really hurt.
There's a reason look like it.
You don't want to get shot in paintball. It's not like an airsoft gun or anything. It leaves a couple of nice bruises. But I can just picture Bill Belichick shooting everyone without an ounce of sympathy. And here's the thing. Like, who's going to be the one with enough job security to shoot the head coach? Like, Tom Brady, maybe. He's the only one. And I don't think anybody's shooting Brady either.
Yeah.
It's like letting Vladimir Putin score in a game of hockey.
That clip of Putin scoring is amazing. Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought of when I heard Belichick shot player in the face was Dick Cheney. Yeah. That was literally the first thing. And then the second thing I thought about was this is because he excused OTAs 2 days early. And
just say, let's clarify too. Dick Cheney is one of Bill Belichick's role models.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think Belichick's like a war history buff too.
He is, yeah. So he probably
takes his military serious
strategy and like probably flanked Van Noy and cut off his supply routes and yeah.
Yeah, he was thinking about this weeks before it even happened.
Yeah, flooded the grass behind him.
But like one of the things I wanted to talk about is I know James Merrillat over at 104, he writes for 104.3 The Fan now. When Vic Fangio gave the Broncos the afternoon off and did the field day, like he plays the contrarian, like that's what he's done. Yeah. And I know James, he's like a nice dude and he knows what he's doing, but he just wrote an article about like how the Broncos shouldn't be taking practice days off, which is obviously
it's so funny
to get people like worked up. And then you see like Bill Belichick do it and it makes it even look, you know, more ridiculous. And I just thought it was like really funny because I was pretty sure somebody would mention that on Twitter and somebody definitely referenced like 104.3 The Fan putting out that article when they saw Bill Belichick did it.
Bill Belichick's been there for 20 years and Vic Fangio is a rookie head coach, so he needs that time to install the system.
Well, that was like one of the points I got at in the basketball video we did is it's like the sport debate format works because every subject is debatable. Everything. It's
true. Anything, yeah, you could pick anything and people can – they can play devil's advocate or, you know, it's just, it really is performance art.
Yeah. I mean, I think the same thing can be said with politics, but like sports, it's more fun because it's not as serious. And it's why like guys like Skip Bayless make so much money.
Yeah. That's why Stephen A. Smith is the highest paid on-air personality at ESPN.
Yeah.
It's like because he knows the most.
We know that.
Yeah.
Although I've made some pretty big errors.
Hunter Henry can attest.
In our last...
but take solace in knowing that you're not the highest paid YouTuber. So
That's right. Not even fucking close.
Yeah, you're only like third or fourth.
Yeah.
In a bad year.
It would be funny if like somehow, as mildly successful as my channel is, I turned out to be one of the highest paid YouTubers. It would be funny because I'd be so rich.
Yeah, no, you could.
I could pay you so much more money. I could pay you what you're worth, Will. Really.
So I'd be taking a pay cut in that case.
The last football thing I want to talk about is Pete Carroll said he expects Michael Kendricks to be available this season. Kendricks, of course, got busted for the insider trading. His sentencing has been postponed three times so far. Kendricks played in three games last year, then served an 8-game suspension, and then went on IR because he got hurt in the first game back. But I thought it was really interesting because this is a white-collar crime that the NFL could easily get around. So Pete Carroll saying he's confident that Kendricks can play this year, to me, seems like the most, I don't know, slimy sort of thing to get out of a crime, because like the NFL should feel embarrassed if they don't help Kendricks avoid getting out of this. You know what I mean?
Like this. I mean, they're actively helping Tyreek Hill right now. So,
right. And this is their bread and butter. Like every player they have knows, they know guys that know judges to help get him out of this shit. And Kendricks was like somewhat an ignorant bystander in what was happening. He said he knew like something wasn't completely legal, but he didn't understand exactly like the.
Yeah, it's like Barry Bonds. Like, I didn't know that they're injecting steroids into me. It's like, I just thought it was like a potassium supplement because I was getting cramps in my leg.
Yeah. My head was getting huge and I was slamming dingers at an alarming rate.
But my balls shrunk to the size of marbles.
I realized, like, to be able to talk about baseball, you just need to say thing like jacked and dingers.
And yeah, it's a lot of penis euphemisms, essentially. Like dongs is a home run. Yeah, like jacking one. Basically, it's an extremely phallic sport. You're holding like that baseball bat.
Right.
Yeah.
Putting chalk on your hands before you grab the shaft of a bat.
Correct.
Everybody understands that.
Choking up on it. Yeah. Yeah. No, let's just say, psychologists would have a field day exploring. I'm sure there's been many, many a book written about the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before on here, right? With the use of the word penetration by football announcers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is just.
Should be outlawed.
It's on the mind. Like, when you're watching a sport as aggressive as football, it builds up, even watching it, I think, builds up testosterone, which makes you think of sex. And that's probably why John Madden drew so many penises on the telestrator. Got the left guard here and then the right guard here, sealing off the block. And you can see Terrell Davis running up the middle right here. And somehow, for some reason, I'm finishing the half circle here and bringing it right back down to the second ball.
There you go. Mm-hmm. He ran a perfect penis route.
Well, that's in far more detail than John Madden would describe any play. So
that's true. What do you think turns Madden on more?
Oh,
football or food?
Wow. That's because he likes to conflate the two, like with turducken. Yeah. I think the one thing that turned him on more than anything was Pat Summerall pronouncing the comma in Murder, She Wrote. It's like when they're on CBS together, the game would always be followed by an episode of Murder, She Wrote. And then it became such a joke between them that when they moved to Fox, obviously Murder, She Wrote was still on CBS. And so the show that came up on Sunday nights after the game was Married with Children. So Pat Summerall would pronounce it Married with Children. after the game on Fox.
Yeah, I remember you writing that joke in one of our episodes.
Yep.
And I didn't know the reference then.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. All right.
The thing with Kendricks, though, and I think you're kind of alluding to it in the rundown, in blue-collar prison, there's nothing really to do other than pump iron all day and, you know, maybe play, you know, prison yard sports. Like, O.J. Simpson was the GM of their intramural sports league. In white-collar prison, I assume all you can do is, like, make crafts with Martha Stewart. And if there's any sport being played, it's got to be, like, tennis or something. Maybe badminton. Croquet, maybe? I don't know.
No, yeah, because
– I don't think that gets you into football shape, right?
That was a decent joke I wrote in there, is that he got – Kendricks got injured because white-collar crime doesn't make you tougher like regular crime.
That's right, yeah. No, it's sad. It's sad. I feel bad for everybody that has to go to white-collar crime and not come jacked.
Exercising your brain, not your biceps.
Someone's been in blue-collar prison recently.
You like that?
Yeah, general population based on those biceps.
GP and I was running the show.
Are you wearing a frat shirt?
It's Phi Slamma Jamma.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a frat.
No, it's a it's college basketball sports reference.
I know.
I don't know what it is. I got it for free from my friend's t-shirt company.
Not bad.
I've had it for a long time, and it's just like one of those soft, nice t-shirts.
Yeah.
But I do like people to think that I was in a frat.
You want to shout out your friend's t-shirt company?
No, because
the funds.
My friend doesn't work for him anymore, and the guy didn't pay me for video services I was in the process of trying to make for them.
Oh, in that case, the t-shirt is not soft and is very uncomfortable.
My wife always asks me why I still wear them. I'm like, they're good shirts.
Well, what can you do? Yeah.
What can you do?
Bad businessman, good craftsman.
Let's end with just a little basketball talk.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last podcast, we did a big Game of Thrones talk at the end. And you, I think, reshared somebody tweeting, like saying, loved you guys talking about Game of Thrones and TV, was my favorite part of the show. And then I posted a question, which was cool. And then I posted a question about with the YouTube shit, like what people wanted a video made about. And some guy was like, do the Giants episode. I don't want to hear any more about YouTube or Game of Thrones. That was hard enough to listen to in the last podcast. So it's just like,
I don't understand why. You can just turn it off, man. Or you can just hit skip.
We warned him. We said, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones now. But
I'll never understand it.
I respect the loyalty, I guess, of the guy listening through that.
It'd be one thing.
Probably listening right now.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if we were talking about this in like the week before the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it is June.
That's the thing. Like, I wasn't mad about the comment. It's just like my point there is like trying to guess. I feel like what I think people want to hear is it's always just tough. Like, I know the Broncos are a safe bet. I know shitting on the Patriots is a safe bet. AFC West is getting stronger.
We got a lot of Chiefs fans.
I got Chiefs fans here, which I respect. Chargers fans just seem like they're never over the top one way or the other. I think they've been beaten down for so long by usually having a good team and knowing they're not going to go anywhere. And I'm usually pretty fair to the Chargers outside of making fun of Phillip Rivers a lot.
Yeah.
Raiders fans, I have not been able to win over, I feel like.
You got a good comment from a Raiders fan a couple weeks ago, though.
Did I?
I think so. Yeah. I'll try
generally, they will downvote the video when I talk a lot of shit about the Raiders. But it's a guessing game.
What are you going to do? You can't make everybody happy. You can only make yourself happy.
No. And I really liked the Justin Bieber, Tom Cruise fight video, but not as many people want to watch it.
I don't know why. When that eventually becomes available on pay-per-view, I'll pay any amount of money.
Oh God, I would. That'd be such a fun thing to watch. Be such a fun thing to get drunk and watch. Anyway,
I hope it, and ideally it lasts like as long as a football game.
Yeah, three-hour fight.
Although I still think Cruz would kill him. He'd probably kill him in the ring.
Yeah, I feel like Tom Cruise is probably tough.
He is. I mean, people are saying, "Oh, Bieber's 2 inches taller. He's got a longer reach. He's, you know, whatever. Well, 31 years old or younger." Have you seen Cruz and have you seen Justin Bieber? That's all I need. That's all I need to know. Look at the muscle definition on Tom Cruise. Look at Biebs. He's spent the last 5 years banging chicks and hanging out at your local gas station.
In a way, I would rather fight Justin Bieber easily.
Absolutely. Because he's Canadian, so he's probably a pacifist in the first place.
Yeah. And he's built like me. He's slightly taller, but he's just like a skinny guy who, you know, he would probably win the fight. Like, I think the reason he tweeted out the thing is he's been like training. He's been fight training or boxing or some shit. But I would rather fight him than
Cruz has been training since. We need to understand this. Cruz has been training since like The Outsiders, since Risky Business.
Yeah.
This is not his first rodeo.
No. You know who's an actor? Every time I see him, I always just think that guy would just kick my ass. And not like The Rock, which obvious. Yeah. But every time I see Josh Brolin, I'm like, that guy would just destroy me. Is there like a dude who looks more like a manly, like tough dude than Josh Brolin?
I don't think so. Especially in No Country for Old Men, when he's got the mustache too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would probably, yeah, he'd end me. I think, I was going to say John Hamm, but he's just become too stylish.
Yeah.
He's just wearing scarves to St. Louis Blues games and shaving his beard in the middle of a playoff run. Like, kind of loses some of his, he doesn't have to hand over his full man card, but like, you know, maybe turns in the platinum one for a regular man card.
Every time I see John Hamm, I think I wish I had a job where I could drink as much as he did on Mad Men at his job.
Well, what's stopping you?
Self-respect.
Yeah. Well, that's your problem. Got to get rid of that, first of all. That has no place in this industry.
Now that I'm a bourbon drinker or a whiskey drinker, I wish I could go back to the 50s and just have a job where I would never get fired and I could drink and make good money.
I know. We were really, as men, we were really born in the wrong era.
As white men, we really, yeah. My gravy train is starting to sail.
I know. Couldn't have been born in like 1925. Fuck this shit. Although we probably would have had a fight in like a major war and probably die. So
yeah, and yeah, gotten actually. Cancer from smoking so many cigarettes every day.
It's the little trade-offs you have to make.
Yeah, small sacrifices.
So speaking of the NBA finals,
yeah, let's finish basketball. Get the fuck out of here.
So are you going to watch, are you going to sit down and watch game 6, on Thursday?
I'm going to try to.
Okay. I'm excited for that. Who do you think's going to win the series though? Cause the Warriors have the momentum. I know in the video, I wrote that I thought the Raptors were going to win. And so I basically just, gave you my opinion to speak on the video because
you kind of hinted at that the last podcast, right. Said the Raptors were a tough matchup for the Warriors. And the one thing I've learned by watching basketball this round is that Kawhi Leonard's a lot better basketball player than I thought he was. Like, I knew he was a really good player, but watching him play, like, oh, yeah, he's really fucking good. He's like one of those players, I guess, like he can do everything, right? Like,
yeah, no, that's the thing is he's a major two-way superstar in a way that no one on Golden State who's healthy is. Durant is arguably a better offensive player right now. I mean, it's hard to argue, really, because he can get up a shot over anyone just by how fucking tall he is, and he can shoot from anywhere on the floor. Probably not as tenacious a defender as Kawhi Leonard, but he's longer, which lets him guard more positions, which is important because in basketball you're switching a lot because of picks, and you have to cover, you know, more than one type of player. So it's really valuable to have a guy like Kevin Durant who can guard a guard and like a power forward. So it really hurts them in this series. And I think going back to the Toronto fans, it's like you can sort of like forgive them for seeing Durant get hurt and them cheering based on like, oh, we got this now. It's a foregone conclusion that we're going to win the series. Because this is a city that hasn't won anything since the Blue Jays in 93. And they really, really want this title. It's, you know, Kawhi Leonard could easily leave next season. It's not like they're guaranteed to make it back like the Cavs and the Warriors were for
right
4 years. So it was a big moment for them. And I can, you know, obviously like the douchebags aside who were, you know, standing up and waving at Kevin Durant, like their initial reaction is like anybody. It's like, you know, we're in the driver's seat now to win this whole series, because their best player's gone. And that's the first thing that's going to go through your head rather than, oh, I'm, you know, bummed out that this great player is injured.
Yeah. I think when the series started, or before it started, I thought Kevin Durant was going to be back for the whole thing. I didn't realize, like, how serious his injury was. But that's, like I said, like, watching – who did Toronto play right before? Who did they beat to get to the finals? The final?
Milwaukee.
That's right. Was it in Milwaukee? They took the lead in that series, right?
Yeah, they went up 2-0, and then 2-0. Toronto won the last four.
Yeah. So I think I thought, like, since Toronto kind of struggled in that series early, that the Warriors would beat them, and I thought Kevin Durant was coming back. But I've been impressed with watching Kawhi, you know, sort of carry. It's funny. It's like, because you told me there's a lot of good talent on the Raptors, but it's similar in that there's so much talent on the Warriors, and previously they've faced the Cavs and LeBron, and it's been LeBron carrying the team, and it's like the same story again with Kawhi sort of carrying the Raptors against them. But now the Warriors are pretty banged up. Who's the other player you said is hurt for the Warriors? Is it Looney?
Yeah, Kevon Looney is out for the rest of the series too, which basically means that they have to play DeMarcus Cousins a lot, which it slows them down. Like that, Cousins is still kind of out of shape because he was hurt too. They didn't think he'd be playing, so he got hurt in the first game of the playoffs. And he doesn't really – it's hard to say he really fits in the offense. He makes plays, but he also makes a lot of errors. Like he was almost the reason that they lost game five, because he got called for that moving screen, which gave Toronto the ball back and the chance to win. But like the thing is, like, Toronto's are inarguably a more talented roster than the Warriors are right now. But it's almost as important to have, like, if you cut it into who has who has two out of the three best players in the series? You'd say right now, Kawhi Leonard's one, but Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are two and three. And I think in some circumstances, it's better to have two of the best three players in the series than to have the better roster overall. Because especially in these moments, the discrepancy between like the role players and the superstars becomes so large in the finals, which is why like Golden State doubled Kawhi Leonard on the last possession. It's like, we know that if he gets open, he's, you know, odds are he's going to make a shot, and we'd rather take our chances with Kyle Lowry in the corner and leave him open rather than even give Kawhi Leonard a contested look. And it worked out.
Yeah, no, it did.
Kawhi Leonard or Kyle Lowry missed by, roughly 7 feet.
Wasn't even close.
Well, I think it was tipped. Come on, people. I think it
was. Was it tipped?
I think so.
No, that's fair. I didn't look at it that closely. Every now and then you see an NBA player like just miss a bad shot.
It's very relatable.
It's always funny to me, and it is relatable. Like, yeah, see, that can still happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's funny when professional athletes screw up. It really is. It makes them more like us.
Yeah, I love it. That's why
I wouldn't miss a shot that bad. Come on. I would.
I haven't shot a basketball forever. It was always like my worst sport, basketball.
I wonder why.
Too much. Wait, is that a short thing?
No. I already ran out of short jokes in the Tom Cruise, Justin Bieber fight episode. Yeah.
I thought that was a good joke we referenced a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You liked my Home Alone one, didn't you?
That was very good.
That was a joke like I started and I didn't know where I was going.
A lot of times those are the best ones.
Like how do I make this fit in some way?
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
And a few of those movies had way more than three, too. I was like, nobody's going to give a shit.
There's probably like 7 Home Alones, but like 4 of them went straight to DVD in like the early 2000s.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of Terminators and...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I tweeted that Anthony Davis was traded.
Sure is it.
I got the fake Adrian Wojnarowski. Is that Wojnarowski?
Yeah, Wojnarowski.
The Woj bomb.
Yeah.
I tweeted the fake one.
Mm-hmm.
It was right before this. Like, oh shit, that's big news. Something we could talk about. And immediately somebody's like, fake.
What happened is basically his agent said that if he got traded to the Celtics, he would leave after a year because he becomes a free agent after next season. So he's basically like saying
he doesn't want to.
No point in trading me here because I'm not going to stay.
I respect that. Respect him not going to Boston.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Boston is going to be so arrogant anyway. It's like, well, we're going to trade knowing that he doesn't want to stay. And then he's going to play a season here. And it's going to turn out that he loves Boston and loves the team. And he's going to change his mind. And then it turns out he won't because, you know. Kind of racist assholes.
So we've got Boston Blues playing tonight. Hopefully I get this episode up.
I think I'm going to sit down and watch a good old game of hockey.
We're going to end on this, even though it's such old news. It's just something I'm curious about. Why did the Spurs trade Kawhi Leonard?
Because he
just won out of there? Like,
he got hurt. So going back to the 2017 Western Conference Finals, the Spurs and the Warriors were playing. In game one, I think the Spurs were up by like 25 points maybe. And Zaza Pachulia, who used to play center for the Warriors, kind of cheap-shotted Kawhi Leonard and like injured his leg. I think it was like his thigh, but like gave him a serious injury that just immediately took him out of the series. And so the Warriors came back and won that game because Kawhi was gone. And then I think they swept the series. I can't remember exactly. I'm going to say they swept, actually. And then so Kawhi was – they expected him to be back by game one of the 2017 season. 2017-2018 season, so right after those playoffs, and he just kind of took his time coming back from injury, and it became like the Spurs and their doctors thought that Kawhi was ready to play, and Kawhi decided he wasn't ready to play, and so it became this big standoff and this huge rift between the two of them, and apparently Kawhi's his uncle, because his uncle is kind of his father figure because his dad was murdered when Kawhi was 16.
Oh, shit.
His uncle's like his mentor and his father figure now. His uncle wants Kawhi to become like a bigger star, and he didn't think that San Antonio was like a very marketable place to become an NBA superstar, which I think it has way more to do just with your personality than where you are in the internet age. But that's what they decided. And so he demanded a trade, wanting to go to one of the LA teams specifically. And Greg Popovich was like, fuck you. We're going to send you to somewhere as far away as possible from LA. You're going to Toronto, Canada. And props to Kawhi, because he made the best of it and is, you know, one win away from bringing back the finals. But that also means you know, he's only guaranteed one or two more games in Toronto, because he could leave in free agency afterwards. And he hasn't said really one way or the other. He hasn't committed to staying in Toronto. He hasn't committed to leaving either. So that's kind of one of the big storylines in this finals, along with Kevin Durant also possibly leaving.
Would Kawhi be a good fit in LA?
He'd be a good fit anywhere, honestly. I don't think there's anywhere where they wouldn't make it work.
If you're LeBron James, you'd rather have Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard on your team?
That's a really good question. After seeing this, I'd take Kawhi, honestly. Although, you know, technically LeBron and Kawhi play the same position. Although they'd find a way to make it work.
Yeah, they figured
it
out.
It wouldn't really matter. LeBron basically can play
everything.
So they'd make it work, but I think...
Five, if you're counting coach, Will.
Ooh. Well, there's five. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, all right. It's kind of the GM more than he is the coach.
Okay, fair enough. All right, yeah. Well, thanks for asking me, answering my basketball questions and educating me, Will.
Anytime.
Smarter. Make sure you follow Will on Twitter @Wilkie6 for his hot LaCroix takes.
Once a week.